First from Isaiah chapter 40, and beginning with verse 37, or 27, excuse me, Isaiah 40, verse 27. Hear now the word of the Lord. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And then we take a look at Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Verses 29 to 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many and who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So we traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It seemed like he would never get a job. It was the recession that began in 2008. His skill set was such that it was very particular to one field, and they weren't hiring in that field. And there was no sense going back to school. That was a moot point. What he needed then and there was an income. He and his family, it's what they needed, a regular income, but they didn't have that. He was about to lose his job. He lost his job. He was about to lose his house. He was about to lose everything else that he had. No idea where the next paycheck would come from, no idea how the bills would get paid. And going to church seemed surreal as well. How could he praise God during a time like this when he didn't have very much, when he was about to lose what he did have? How could he come and sing praises to God or to praise his name? God didn't feel very close to him during this time. God felt very distant and absent. Did God even care? Maybe he wondered. Was God even there? Was God around? Did he even see him and notice what was going on in his life? Was God able to change this situation? These are some very similar questions that the people of Israel were asking when they went off to Babylon, when they were taken from their homes, when they were taken from their land and their country, and they were placed in a very foreign land, far away with idols and a very different and foreign culture from what they knew. The promise that they would return home was there. They had the promise, but to them it felt like God was a million miles away. Where was he? Did God know? Did he care? Could he change things? Could he change their situation? So there are three things I want to talk about briefly this morning. The first point is that it sometimes feels like, to us, it sometimes feels like God isn't around, God doesn't care, or God's not able to change things. And the second thing I want to talk about is that it helps to remember who God is. Helps to remember who God is, God's character. And thirdly, hope in the Lord renews our strength and our endurance. Hope in the Lord renews our strength and our endurance when we are feeling that absence of God and not feeling his presence. First, it sometimes feels like God is not around, or he doesn't care, or he's not able to change things. Sometimes it feels that way. You see, Israel, Isaiah is sending this message, this prophetic message that we read about in the Old Testament to the nation of Israel, like I said, sent off into exile, into a foreign land, surrounded by these idols and gods of the foreign peoples, and they were far, far away from home. And not everybody went either, so some of their family was left behind too. So they're feeling very homesick, very hopeless. It's been a very long, long time of being in exile. And so they too are wondering, is God there? Is he around? Does he know? Does he see me? Verse 27 of Isaiah 40 says this, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God?" This is the inner voice arguing with the doubts. It's speaking to the feelings versus allowing our feelings to speak to us. So often we allow our feelings to speak to us. It's important to know our feelings and to listen to what they're saying, yes. But to allow our feelings alone to direct our behavior and actions and what we do, well, that's not always a very good idea. So oftentimes in Scripture, we're supposed to speak to our feelings. Read about it in the Psalms, right? "Why so downcast, O my soul? Look to God," right? He's talking to his feelings there. We're supposed to talk to our feelings too. And that's what I see what's going on here in the book of Isaiah, where he is speaking to the feelings. Why do you complain, O Israel? You know, he's part of Israel too. Why do you complain, O Jacob? And he's speaking to the feelings of the people. It's that inner conversation that's going on here that we have with ourselves too. Why so downcast, O my soul? It's that inner conversation that could break through the calluses of hardened hearts, defeated and depressed by whatever's going on in the world or in our own life situations, so that we once again can see the majesty and the power of Almighty God. The feelings say, "My way is hidden from the Lord. God doesn't see me. He doesn't notice." My feelings say, "My cause is disregarded by my God. He doesn't care. God disregards me. He's given up on me." My feelings are saying this. People in Jesus' day and ours have similar thoughts too. People facing various diseases, right? Pandemics, lockdowns, isolation, fevers, spiritual oppression and illnesses, especially chronic ones. When we're in these situations, especially for a long time, it's easy to not feel God's presence. It's easy to feel like God's not noticing. Maybe he doesn't care. Or maybe he's not able to change things. Is God big enough to handle what I'm going through? Is he big enough to handle what our country is going through right now? Is he powerful enough to deal with that? Is he powerful enough to change things? Does he even want to? The message of Isaiah is given, and Jesus comes on the scene during a time when God's people are at rock bottom. You ever been there? A lot of people do get there at some point in their life. They get to a point of rock bottom, a point of helplessness, that point of, I can't fix this. I can't change this. I can't do anything. Alcoholics get there. They get to that point where they can't do it, and they realize it finally. Others get there too. It's at that point of helplessness, that human inability, where God's promise of salvation and deliverance comes. It's in that soil of human powerlessness that the promise of salvation and deliverance comes. We all need to come to that point, don't we? To realize that we cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. See, Isaiah pulls us away, as he pulls Israel away from our own self-help and self-salvation programs. It pulls us away from our need to look at the idols around us, whether they're real idols like in Israel's day or the idols of our culture today, whether it's we're looking at work. How am I going to save myself? Work, work more, work overtime, work, 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 or money. More money is going to save me. or sex or pleasure, you know, just doing it to be happy all the time. And he helps us focus on the one true God who is able to save. If you believe God doesn't see what's going on, if you think that he's not able to help, if you believe that he doesn't care, well, I think this morning that you have too low of a view of God, too low of a view of who God is, his character. So that brings me to the second point I want to talk about this morning. It helps. It helps when we're down at rock bottom. It helps when we can't feel God's presence and we don't know that he's there with a deep, visceral sense. It helps to know who God is. It helps to know God's character and to be reminded of that. So it's to this single-minded trust and devotion that that Isaiah calls Israel to, and he's calling us to as well, to this single-minded devotion to the Creator God. As he says in chapter 30, verse 15, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. In repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. As you rest from all your labors, all your struggles, and your endeavors to save yourself, and you trust in God, repentance, turning away from your sins and your own self-salvation programs, and turning to God and resting in Him, that is your strength. Israel's beginning to lose hope. They're beginning to lose their faith in God. They're beginning to trust in these false idols around them because it's been such a long, long time that they have been away from home, that they've been in exile. The empire is so huge. The armies are so large and powerful. How could anybody change this situation? Their situation is looking more and more stuck. Like, this isn't going to change. This is the way it's always been. And for some of them who were born there, this is the way it's always been. Isaiah brings them and brings us back to the reality of who God is, God's character. Verses 28 and 29 of Isaiah says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. The Lord is the everlasting God. He's eternal, never ending. He's always there, never present. The Lord is the creator of the ends of the earth, and everything that you've seen, everything that you've ever seen, everything that you haven't, many things that you haven't ever seen or ever will see, God made and God created in this world, in this solar system, in this universe. He is the creator of all there is from the ends of the earth, and he loves his creation. He cares for his creation. He sustains, he continues to sustain and renew his creation, and that means you and me too. The Lord is powerful. He's not like people who grow tired, weak, weary and have to sleep. He's not like the idols who are powerless and can't even speak. The Lord is powerful and he has power and strength that he's willing to share, that he desires, it says in Isaiah 40, he desires to give power and strength to the weak and the weary. The Lord is wise. No magic genie, no quick fixes. The Lord's ways, the Lord's thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts, but he's wise. As it says in Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 9, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Some say that you cannot, they will not believe in a God that allows this or that to happen. They'll say that to you. They say, I cannot believe in a God who would allow this to happen. What I think they're really saying is that I haven't thought of a reason for it. I haven't thought of a reason why God would allow this to happen. And so they say, I can't believe in a God like that. Well, just because you couldn't think of a reason for it to happen doesn't mean there isn't a reason for it. It just means you haven't thought of it, right? But you're placing your reason, your reasoning ability, your knowledge above or in the place of where God should be. I won't believe in a God who does that and other things. You haven't thought of a reason for it, but God may have a reason for your suffering. God may have a reason for you going through a hard time. God may have a reason for you hitting rock bottom so you finally trust in him and love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when we were powerless to save ourselves, God became one of us and took on human flesh and blood in the person of Jesus Christ. who was the foolishness to the Greeks and a stumbling block to the Jews. In Jesus, God demonstrated his own love for us. God sees, God loves, God cares. And we see it in the healing and the preaching ministry of Jesus in Mark chapter 1. In verses 32 to 34, it says, that evening after sunset, it was after the Sabbath, at the end of the Sabbath, people are allowed to travel, right? That's why they're coming after sunset. That evening after sunset, people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Disciples didn't even get it very often, but the demons knew who Jesus was, but Jesus said, be quiet. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. Jesus was the presence of the kingdom of God in their midst. In Jesus, God sees. In Jesus, God loves and God hears and God is present. God heals and delivers. Remember who God is. Remember his character. It's God's uniqueness, his oneness, his eternality, his power, his wisdom and love as creator that helps us when God feels absent, when we know this, when we remember who God is. It helps us when God feels absent to remember God is everlasting, that he is the creator of all that there is, that he is powerful and wise, that he's the savior, that he's the deliverer. So that brings me to the third point I wanted to bring up today. Hope in the Lord renews our strength. Hope in the Lord renews our strength and endurance as we put our hope in him. Even our most virile and young people grow weary and weak, don't they? They stumble and fall. Even the best of us, even the wisest of us, even the strongest of us grow weary and weak. We stumble and fall. We make mistakes. Everybody does. Not God. Not God. He doesn't grow weary or weak. God even has enough strength to share with those who are weary and weak. In verse 31 of Isaiah 40, it says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. As one commentator, John Oswalt, once noted, hope is to live in confident expectation of his action on our behalf. Hope is to live in confident expectation of his actions on our behalf. Hope is refusing to go ahead of God and to say, I can fix this on my own. I don't need you, God. Just leave me alone. I can take care of this thing. I can get my life in order. I can save myself. Hope is refusing to do that. Hope is looking to God. Hope is trusting in God. Hope is praying to God for help and strength and wisdom and salvation and deliverance. But hope is also refusing to despair when our ways and thoughts are not God's ways or thoughts or timing. When God's ways and God's thoughts and God's timing of things is different from our college professors or our parents or our friends or my own. Hebrews 11 famously puts it this way. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. It's that inner confidence and assurance of the work of a sovereign God in the world and in our lives, an unseen God. And having this hope renews our strength and endurance when we're going through difficult times. We're going through difficult times. If we're at rock bottom, we realize that we are powerless to change the world around us or ourselves. We look to God and we have that hope that he is there. Hope is knowing that there's nothing that God can't change. There's nothing that God can't change. Doesn't mean he will change. Doesn't mean he will change things the way we want God to change things. But hope is knowing that there's nothing in the world, there's nothing in our lives that God cannot change. We know God is the eternal creator, powerful, all-wise, and can change any situation. He is able. He is able. So he's the one we pray to. He's the one we look to. Even the psalmist, after crying out and complaining, where are you, O God? How long, O Lord? Have you left me? You've deserted me, God. Even in the end, it's even a sense of, at least the psalmist is praying. The psalmist is praying to God. He's pouring out his heart to God because it takes faith to do that. takes faith to cry out to God in our weaknesses when we're hitting rock bottom. In Mark chapter 1, verse 37, it says, Simon and his friends went looking for Jesus, and when they found him, they said, everybody's looking for you. And Jesus said, let's go somewhere else. Everybody's chasing after him because he's healing so many and casting out demons. And Jesus says, let's go somewhere else, because he's not just about the healing ministry. He didn't heal everybody in the world who was sick. He couldn't have. He didn't. But he needs to preach, go on preaching in other towns and villages, for he says, that is why I came. The kingdom of God has arrived in Jesus Christ. Salvation and deliverance are found in him, whether it's deliverance from sin or a fever or addiction to alcohol or from abusive relationships or loneliness or COVID or stress or from whatever, whether it's in the daytime or the nighttime, on the Sabbath day or after the Sabbath day is over, in big cities or small, to the rich or the poor, Jesus delivers. Jesus saves. And that's a word that needs to get out. That's a message that people need to hear. So what's got you thinking too small about God this morning? What's got you thinking in Lilliputian terms about who God is? Small terms. Where are you placing your trust? Where are you placing your hope today? Who are you looking to? What are those idols that you constantly run after that you think that will save you or deliver you from your situation? In John 6, verse 40, Jesus says, for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him has eternal life. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hope in the Lord renews our strength, even as we place our ultimate hope, our ultimate trust for our souls in the Lord Jesus Christ as deliverer for the forgiveness of sins and for eternal life. That's what the communion table is all about. As the elements of bread and the juice, the wine, it points us to Jesus, to his death and on the cross, his sacrifice for sins once and for all. So God gives us what is needed at the right time in our lives. Whether we need to soar, run, or walk. What has always caught my attention about this account of Jesus' healing ministry is how Jesus recharges himself, how he gets refreshed. It says he goes off to be by himself, right? Early in the morning, it says in verse 35 of Mark chapter 1, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place and prayed. Some have called it a lonely place, a solitary place, where he went off to be by himself to pray. And I believe that's a call for us as well to make sure we're spending that time with the Lord as life gets so stressful or depressing and sad, or as we get so angry because we realize that we're so powerless to change the big picture of, say, racism, or the big picture of how people respond to COVID, or the big picture of what the state is doing or Washington, D.C. is doing. And we get so frustrated and angry because we can't change these things. We're powerless. It's good to go back to God. We maintain our hope in the Lord by spending that quality time with God in prayer. Maintaining hope in the Lord is refreshing yourself with the knowledge of God's character, who God is, by spending that quality time reading his word as we remind ourselves and we constantly refresh our memory of who God is, who is his character. We maintain our hope in God when we have fellow Christ followers to join us on our journey. We're not trying to do this alone. Not trying to follow God on our own, but we've joined the church and we have fellow Christ followers to be with us in this journey. When we maintain our hope in the Lord, we renew our strength and we're able to soar. We're able to run. We're able to walk. And we're reminded that there's nothing that God cannot change. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, some of us this morning are in those places of helplessness and hopelessness. Some of us have reached that rock bottom, Lord, where we realize that we can't fix the situation, where we're just coming to grips with the fact that we've tried so many different ways, Lord, but we can't change, whether it's our own personality or behaviors or actions or how we use our words, whatever it is. But Lord, we want to change. We want to grow in holiness. We want to grow closer to you. Lord, there's so much going on in our world that we realize that we cannot change. and we feel helpless so often. So, Lord, we come to you this morning. We place our hope, our trust in you. We look to you for strength. We look to you when we're weary and worn out and tired. We look to you, Lord, for deliverance and salvation. Meet us today, Lord, at this communion table, where we remember and believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we are forgiven, we are set free through his blood. We praise you and thank you, Lord. Amen. Table has been prepared for us this morning as we celebrate communion together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the Gospels tell us that on the first day of the week, the day on which our Lord rose from the dead, that he appeared to some of his disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. Come then to the joyful feast of the Lord. Will you join me in prayer? We bless you, O Lord, for your continual love and care for every creature. For you are the creator of the ends of the earth. We praise you for forming us in your image and calling us to be your people. We thank you that you did not abandon us in our rebellion against your love, but you sent prophets and teachers to lead us into the way of salvation. Above all, we thank you for sending Jesus, your Son, to deliver us from the way of sin and death, by the obedience of his life, by his suffering upon the cross, and by his resurrection from the dead. We praise you that he now reigns with you in glory and ever lives to pray and intercede for us. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, defends us in adversity, and out of every people unites us into one holy church. Therefore, with a whole company of saints in heaven, and on earth, we worship and glorify you, God most holy. Amen. We give thanks to God the Father that our Savior Jesus Christ, before he suffered, gave us this memorial of his sacrifice until he comes again. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This is my blood. Do this in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." Please join me in a prayer of consecration. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you would show forth among us your presence, the presence of your life-giving word and the Holy Spirit, to sanctify us and your whole church through this sacrament. Grant that all who share the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ may be one in him, and may remain faithful in love and hope. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.